To determine nature's laws, we must examine all the cases, all the instances, in which we can observe the particular phenomenon we hope to reproduce. Secondly, we must observe and make careful note of all the conditions which, in each individual case, accompany the production of the phenomena in question. Thirdly, we must observe all the cases in which, though some of the conditions are present, they are not accompanied by the expected result. By these methods of observation, we are able to reject all the conditions that are in the context superfluous. The conditions that then remain are the ones we're looking for. Hmm. And wherever we can determine the existence of these conditions, we can then ourselves produce the phenomena in question. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Sir Francis, for clearing that up. Now, General Zapata, I mentioned earlier we had more more questions for you. You had told us earlier, sir, of the background of political unrest in Mexico. Could we now take up the situation in your own time?
Bueno, señoras, of 1914, while the drums of the First World War were rumbling in Europe, Mexico was in chaos. We have many rival factions. The wild bandits and peasant generals of Pancho Villa were one source of power. Another leader was Venustiano Carranza. He was the leader of the constitutionalist movement.
We Americans know at least a bit about Pancho Villa, plus what you explained last time. What sort of a fellow was Carranza?
Venustiano Carranza was an old man who had served in the Mexican Senate under dictator Porfirio Diaz. In the spring of 1911, he had joined Francisco Madero, who I then supported myself. Carranza was opposed to President Huerta, you see, and would not recognize him as the legitimate president. That same year, in announcing the plan of Guadalupe, he called for a national uprising to overthrow Huerta.
Well, as between Carranza and Pancho Villa, which one did you prefer?
Ooh, Senor Bacon, that's not the easiest question in the world to answer.